Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not. That's the seventh. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not. Interesting that Judah and Israel are included with those other godless nations. And what you have there in Amos, and I'd like you to turn there with me, please, the book of Amos, chapter 2, three or four transgressions that expresses an incalculable number. In other words, the measure of iniquity is full for each one of those nations, and wrath will fall upon the wicked. The sins of these nations is complete just by the prophet saying, for three transgressions and for four. And they are ripe for judgment, and included Judah and Israel. So Amos, this prophet, is called of God to point this out to these nations, including Judah and Israel. The sins of these previous nations listed, I mentioned Gaza, Damascus, Ammon, and so forth, were violating the laws of nature, violating the laws of conscience, and violating natural feeling. Does that sound familiar today? It sounds like today. But the seventh in the list is Judah. Notice what God says. I never followed up with I will not and then gave you the reason, but there in Amos chapter 2, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord. Stop. Which one of these other nations ever had the law of the Lord? Judah was privileged. They had the law. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. I'm not going to look at the other seven nations. I just want us to look at this and what is said about Judah. God had revealed his word. He had revealed his law to them. They had what the heathen do not. Folks, you have what the heathen do not. You have it in your hands. I trust you're hiding it in your hearts, and that's the word of the Lord. Every believer has the word of God revealed to him. Otherwise, you're not a believer. And yet they came to reject it. Is it possible for you as a believer to come to the point where you reject some of what you read in the Bible at times? And I want you to look at verse 4 again of Amos chapter 2 and note the order, because they first rejected the law of the Lord. They have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. And then what follows? They fell into error. Their lies caused them to err. The sequence there is not by mistake. Their error stemmed from their lies. Their lies stemmed from having despised the truth of God's word. You are so susceptible to lies when you depart from the word of God. You are so susceptible to lies when you just don't even read your Bible. So these people are literally self-deceived. It's one thing for you to be deceived by somebody else. It's another thing for you to deceive yourself. When you look at that word lies in verse 4, and that's what arrested my attention, their lies, caused them to err. That word lies is probably a derogatory term for idols. You see, it was from their idols that they had developed all kinds of false hopes. They believed their own lies. Their lies were their false gods. Chapter 5 of Amos, verses 25 and 26, states what few students of the Bible recognize. So this may surprise some of you. Judah, Israel, when they were one nation in the wilderness for the 40 years in the wilderness, they had made sacrifices to God in the wilderness. You know that. All the while they're making these sacrifices to God, what else are they doing? They have little gods in their pockets. That's why I call this pocket gods. Look at what it says in verse 25. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and keyed your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. You have carried around these little idols in your pockets, so to speak. You have been carrying these things around. You have been carrying around your little lies. So while witnessing the miracles of God, get this, while witnessing the miracles of God in the wilderness, at the very same time that they're picking up their manna every morning, at the same time that they're witnessing all the miracles of God, they have their little pocket idols. They have their little lies. And so when you go back to chapter 2 and verse 4, and you look at the sin of Judah in Amos's time, their sin in Amos' time is the very sin of their forefathers, and that is worshiping God while at the same time worshiping idols. And of course, we don't do that, do we? We do. You see, Joshua had to warn the children of Israel in the last chapter of Joshua before he is to die. He is chiding them for what many were still practicing, even after the wilderness wanderings, even after coming into Canaan and defeating the Canaanites. He still has to say this: now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. It was still an issue. And it is still an issue with us today. It is still an issue for you as a believer to be tempted constantly with the lies of this world, the idols, the things that people worship, the things that people set up on the pedestal. Did you ever wonder why the children of Israel were so vulnerable to sin and to temptation? Why were they so vulnerable to murmuring and complaining and griping about what was happening to them in the wilderness, departing from the Lord? Because they were feigning God worship while not forsaking their idols. I would like for you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20. Let's note this. Let's see what Ezekiel had to say about this. Ezekiel chapter 20. I could read a long passage. In fact, I had it listed out. I was going to read you a number of verses, but I know it's afternoon. You've had food in your stomach and you're ready to go to sleep, so I'm not going to read that many. Ezekiel chapter 20. Let's just start with verse 6. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So he had warned them, even as they're coming out of Egypt, take these gods that you learned about in Egypt and throw them away. But note verse 8, they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. They still worshiped the gods of Egypt. It's possible, even likely, for we believers today to do something similar. Oh, I read my Bible. I really try to apply it to my life and so forth. But at the same time, you know, there's other things I like that are really an idol. You start believing lies. Have you ever wondered how an idol could lead someone astray? Come on. It's an idol. It's a statue. How could that lead anybody astray? This crazy thing can't even talk. This thing can't walk. But the leading astray, Amos 2:4, caused them to err, is self-deception. What lies misled the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah? What lies misled them? It was the lies of others, Egypt, that soon became their own lies. Folks, if we are not careful, we all are vulnerable to lies. We have another name for what we hold in our hands this afternoon. We call this, yes, the Word of God. But even Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, called it what in John 17:17, someone? Truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How can you make sure that you are not susceptible to the lies of others? Because when you listen to the lies of others so much, their lies become your own, and then you spout that off to others. This is what is happening. As people today listen to the lies that are spouted off in our society, it's all over the news media, all kinds of lies. This happened with COVID. The lies, just outright lies. And people believed it because everybody was saying it. And so you can lead yourself astray by lying to yourself. That's what Judah did. Their lies caused them to err. But I want you to note again the sequence. First came rejection of the truth. Then susceptibility to lies. One day, and it's coming soon, we're going to see happen what is prophesied by the Apostle Paul when he says this: because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What happens first? Rejection of truth, then the believing of the lie. Finishes this way, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Any time truth is revealed to you, whether it's when you're reading in your Bible, in your private, in at home, and you see something that the Bible says, and you choose to reject it, there's no reason God should reveal to you any more new truth because you're rejecting a truth already revealed. Always accept the truth that He has revealed. Whether it's in your private devotions, whether it's in your Sunday school class, or whether it's in this service right now or any other service that you have where the Word of God is being preached. That's what Judah did. They rejected the truth, all while giving the impression that they followed it. They still worshiped God. They still made sacrifices. The only way to keep yourself from lying to yourself is to keep yourself from listening to those lies. All of us need someone outside of ourselves who knows me well enough to tell me about myself and what's true of me honestly. Oh, don't you wish there was somebody like that? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not only does the word of God know you, it knows you right down to the core. And so as you read about yourself in God's word, the truth of God's word about yourself, you're less susceptible to the lies of this world. How easy it is to reject the truth of God's word for our own lies, and our own lies cause us to err, or literally wander. So we carry around our little pocket gods. The pocket being the heart and the mind where those lies reside, and they fester and they grow. And pretty soon, don't you find yourself doing this? You start believing some of the lies out there. Oh, well, everybody believes it. Well, that ought to be a real big warning sign to you. Psalm 40, verse 4 says this. Listen closely. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is that man.